Let's turn tonight to the Old Testament, please, and to the prophecy of Isaiah. The prophecy of Isaiah, and to the first chapter. Isaiah chapter 1. And we're reading together from verse number 1. Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 1. Isaiah 1, verse 1. Let us hear the word of God. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. A sinful nation. A people laden with iniquity. A seed of evildoers. Children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. And the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I'm full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who have required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations, incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It's iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They're a trouble unto me. I'm weary to bear them. When you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Amen. We'll end our reading there, and we know that God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart for his name's sake. It is verse 18 that I want to leave before you. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. With our Bibles open at that verse, let us just unite our hearts in prayer. And let us just take a moment here, and every believer, laying hold on the Lord for the help that we clearly need now at this juncture. We need the help and the power of God. And yet the Lord has entreated for such, and by such as us, on this subject. So let us all pray together for the help that we need for the remainder of this meeting. Let us all seek the face of God. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the stillness and the quietness of this meeting house, we approach again thy throne of grace and of mercy, and we thank thee for the Son of God that loved us and gave himself for us. We thank thee, O Father in heaven, for another opportunity now to have read thy word, and to now bring its message to this people. O God, we cry to thee, Remember us in heaven, thy dwelling place. Lord, good meetings are all together in the hands of God. And therefore we cry to thee to remember us and bless us. And by the eternal Spirit, sovereignly control this gathering. Let there be a searching of hearts. Let there be conviction of sin upon that dear soul without Christ. And even tonight in this meeting, bring some dear lost soul into that everlasting union with Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. And Father, I confess, before thine eternal throne, my complete inadequacy to deal with what is before me now in this meeting. Empty me now of self and sin. Wash me completely in the blood of Christ. Fill me now with the Holy Ghost and power. Grant, O God, that divine anointing. Grant, O God, that holy baptism which God alone does give. O God, grant it now. Paralyze and bind every power of darkness. And in this meeting, and in meetings across this land tonight in our church, may souls be gloriously and wondrously saved. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Isaiah, the prophet, ministered from the year that King Uzziah died and through the reigns of Jotham and Ahaz and Hezekiah. He ministered at that time when Sennacherib's army threatened Hezekiah in Jerusalem. We noticed that this morning when Hezekiah was surrounded. Jerusalem was surrounded. Sennacherib had come and Hezekiah had to get before the Lord and spread it before him. Isaiah was the prophet in the land at that time. In fact, the Bible tells us that Isaiah himself was one of those that Hezekiah had sent word to about the imminent siege of Jerusalem. At that time, Isaiah assured Hezekiah that Sennacherib would be quite unsuccessful with his attack upon the city of Jerusalem. Isaiah, in his day, he was a giant for God. He was a voice for God, a voice for truth, a faithful prophet in that time in which we have just outlined for you. Now, in this prophecy of Isaiah, there is so much of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ that Isaiah is rightly called the fifth evangelist by some of the ancient writers or the evangelical prophet. There is more quotations in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, from the book of Isaiah than there are from any of the other prophetical books. You think of some of the quotations and some of the statements that are made in Isaiah about our Lord Jesus Christ, about his birth. In Isaiah 7 we read, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." In Isaiah chapter 9 we read, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Yes, Isaiah there speaking about the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's certainly there. So is his death. In those famous words in Isaiah 53, you think of them. Many of you, I'm sure, knowing them from your childhood days. "All we like sheep gone astray, turned every one to his own way. But the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed." Yes, Isaiah, it takes us in this prophecy from the manger to the cross. But tonight, as we have read in this first chapter, we're reading a message. A message tonight that God gave Isaiah for the people of Israel. A people who had turned their backs on God. And God calls for repentance. God had called for reformation with a promise. In verse 19, of mercy if they obeyed. But also a promise of ruin if they did not. I've already told you what the text is tonight. It is those great words there in verse number 18. "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. They shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool." Dear unsaved in this meeting, what a text to consider tonight with you. Though your sins be as scarlet, and they are in God's eyes. though they be red as crimson, and they are, they shall be white as snow. Understand that. You may have come into this meeting, and again, I'm a stranger here, so I don't know who is unsaved in this gathering. But you may have come into this meeting tonight without Christ, without a Savior, in your sin. Well, here is a word from God Almighty right now to your heart. Come now. Let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. I therefore, for the time that remains, want to speak on a message that I've entitled, A Word from God to Every Sinner in This Meeting. A Word from God to Every Sinner in This Meeting. First thing I want to show you is God's description of sin. Come now, let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, though they be red as crimson. God's description of sin. With those words, scarlet and crimson, God is describing the boldness and the brashness of their sin. Scarlet and crimson, as you would well know, are bold colors. They stand out. You can't miss them. That's the thought. You just can't miss the sin that's gone on in Israel in that day. It's dark, it's devilish, it's disgraceful, it's degrading, it's damning as all sin is. And the Lord uses these words, scarlet, crimson, to describe the boldness and the brashness of sin. Look what else he says, verse 16. Wash you. There's the uncleanness of sin. Put away the evil of your doings. There's what God thinks of sin, evil. That's it. Nutshell. Sin is evil. Sin is bold, it's brash, it's degrading, it's dark, it's devilish, it's unclean, and that is God's description of sin, the sin that he's dealing with in this chapter. But also, dear unsaved friend, and I call you that, friend, it's also a description of your sin. Because all sin is dark. And all sin is devilish. And all sin is degrading. And all sin before God is disgraceful. And all sin, if not repented of, is damning. Though your sins be as scarlet, though they be red as crimson. I want you to understand here the Lord describes sin. Evil. The evil of your doings. In verse number 16. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. There's what God thinks of sin. It's evil. Your Christ rejection. You're disobeying the gospel. It's evil. Verse number 6, God also describes the sinner. Look with me there. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. It's speaking of a man who's sick, from the head to the toe. But it's how God describes the sinner, spiritually sick, from head to toe, no soundness. From the head to the toe, the way we think. From the toe, the way we walk, the way we go, what we say, what we look at, it's all before God, from the head to the toe, just one mass of corruption. That's what the Lord's saying. It's just one mass of corruption. Here the Lord shows the sinner what he is before him. And dear unsaved friend, you need to just begin to understand that. You need to begin to understand that it doesn't really matter at all what anybody really thinks about you if you're not a Christian. You have a far bigger problem. You need to ask yourself, what does God Almighty think about me? How do I stand before God? And the reason you need to ask yourself that is this. And I say this very lovingly, but honestly. If you die tonight, you will meet God tonight. So you need to ask yourself, how does God see me? Well, here's how he describes your sin: evil. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Understand this, dear unsaved friend. Your life to this moment has been lived out in the eyes of the Almighty. Every moment of it. From the cradle to whatever age you are tonight, on the 2nd of August, 2015, from the cradle to now, it's been lived out before the Almighty. That's what the Lord was telling them. Cease to do evil. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. I want you to notice something else about the Lord's description of sin. It's all very personal. He says to them in verse 18, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins." I want you to understand that. It is your sins. Grasp that fact. Every last one of them. Every sinful thought, God says, is yours. Every sinful motive. Every sinful word. Every sinful action. It is your sin. It's your sin. It's against your account. Many people tell us at times they don't come to Christ because they want their sin. Dear unsaved friend, you've got it. Because God says they are your sins. Every last one of them. They're your fault they've been committed. You have a lifetime of them. Every moment of every day, they have gone heavenward. And I want you to understand something. If you die without Christ, you'll meet God and they will still be your sins. And you'll go to hell and forever they'll be your sins. And there's never going to be one moment in God's eternity whenever God will forgive those sins. Never one moment. God says they are your sins. You committed them. They are also your fault. For them, you are guilty. Guilty of transgressing God's law, because that's what sin is. Guilty of rebellion against the Almighty. Your rebellion, your transgression, your rejection of Christ, the evil of your doings, as this chapter speaks of, it's all against God. It's all beside your names. The Lord says, though your sins, they're your sins. Let me ask you something. In light of God's eternity, what good have they done you? You want them? You say, "Preacher, I don't want to come to Christ." God says they're your sins. You committed them. The blame game doesn't work with God. Your sins are yours, mine are mine. They're personal. Nobody's fault but your own that they were committed. Sin is personal. Yes, it's dark, it's devilish, it's degrading, it's disgraceful. If not repented of, it is damning. But it is personal. It is your sin. And God says they're yours, though your sins. Peter spoke in that sort of language in 1 Peter 2. And he spoke of the cross. And he said, who his own self bore our sins. They were our sins. mine. Sins of every believer in this meeting. We committed them. It was our fault they were committed. We were guilty of them. But Christ bore our sins. And here the Lord comes with this message. He describes sin, evil. But he says, he also describes the personal nature of it. Though your sins be as scarlet. I don't doubt there's pleasure in it. But you and I know it doesn't last. And the Bible never said there wasn't pleasure in it. The Bible says there is, but it doesn't last. It's fleeting. Young person, don't judge sin when the party's in full flow and the spirits are high. Judge sin in light of the judgment, in light of the day you meet God on the account of that sin, and you tell me it was all worth it. You tell me it was all worth it. Though your sins. Grasp it. God Almighty is telling you they're yours, and every last one of them's yours. And they're against your name. They're dark. They're devilish. They're disgraceful, they're degrading, they will be damning if you don't repent of them. They are evil in God's eyes. But understand this, friend. And we are so glad you're here, unsaved. But if you die out of Christ, you will meet God on the subject of your sin. And if you die tonight, you will meet him tonight. Though your sins. Though your sins. They're personal. Secondly, I want you to notice something else. The Lord gives a gracious invitation here. Look what he says. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. In this invitation, we see a gracious invitation. How is it gracious? Because here you see the Lord coming to the sinner, the one that deserves nothing but judgment and wrath, and yet he comes with this gracious invitation to wash, put away your sin, make yourself clean. Come now, let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. They'll be red as crimson. They shall be as wool. It's gracious because we don't deserve it. It's gracious because you don't deserve it. But the Lord comes with this message. Just as he did in Eden. Into that garden. Adam had fallen. Turned paradise into a wilderness. Turned paradise into a veil of tears. And yet the Lord entered into the garden and said, where art thou? Well, let's just deal with that one. Where art thou tonight? Well, I'm fully aware you're sitting in Lisburn Free Church. I'm fully aware of that. But where are you before God? Where are you before the one that gave you life and the one that at any moment has the right to take it away? Where are you right this moment before him? Where are you spiritually? You say, preacher, I'm not saved. Well, God comes here with a gracious invitation. And And friend, it's time to be saved. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they will be as wool. It's gracious, we don't deserve it. It's also urgent. Come now. Come now. I said this morning. You will never read from Genesis to Revelation that the Lord says, put this off. This is an urgent matter in your life. This matter, how you deal with this subject of your sin, will determine how you die. It will determine where you go when you die. And I am saying to you, on the light of God's word, there is nothing more urgent in your life right now than the subject of your sin that is against the Almighty. Keep it in your head. You die tonight, you meet God tonight. Life will go on here as normal as best we can. But for you, you've met God. You've lost your soul because of your sin. I also said this morning, every thought, and I'm repeating it, every thought in your mind right now that tells you not to come to Jesus Christ in this meeting right this moment and get right with God and repent of your sins and flee to Jesus Christ as the only Savior, every thought that makes you come up with this answer, I'm not coming, came into your mind from Lucifer. You say, preacher, that's horrific. That is not horrific, that is a fact. Because the devil knows he just needs to keep you a little longer. Just a little longer and longer and longer. Until your God allocated time on earth ends. And then you can't come. Then it's over. And you have lost your soul. And you won't ever be in heaven. Now that is horrific. That is horrific. It's gracious. It's urgent. Because you're a heartbeat from perishing. Nobody here, preacher included, is guaranteed to be here tomorrow. Just see that text and that wall. Prepare to meet thy God. And sinner, prepare to do it any moment from now. Because some moment from now, you're going to. And I don't know, and neither does anybody else know, how many moments there are between you and me meeting God. But in light of eternity, it is but moments. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Oh, it's gracious, all right. The one that has been offended, the one before whom we're all guilty of high treason, breaking his law, open rebellion, sinning against him, word, thought, and deed. And yet he comes, sinner, to you tonight in this meeting with this message, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, the one you've offended. Come now. Sinner, I want you really to grasp that. There is nothing more solemn and more serious in this earth than a gospel meeting. That hour, or however long it lasts, has been used by God to populate heaven down throughout the ages, as sinners have heard the message of Christ, his cross, his blood that cleanses, and they've embraced him, and they've fled to him as the only Savior. Did you understand something else? Down throughout the ages, decisions have been made in gospel meetings that have populated hell. I won't come. I pray to God nobody says that in this meeting. I pray to God you never say it. Come now. Thirdly, there's a declaration of forgiveness. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as will. How can God, who is perfect in holiness, pardon and forgive sinners such as we? You see, the gospel, and I've said before, and I'll say again, it's not what we do for God, but it's what God in Christ has done for sinners. When Christ came into this world, he came with the purpose to fulfill the will of the Father and to save that people that the Father gave him from their sins. He gave obedience, friend, to the law. You've broken time without number. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what is it? It's the historical account of how Christ always pleased the Father. That perfect life, that holy life, that life in which he knew no sin, didn't sin, couldn't sin. But sinner friend, he lived that life for sinners. He lived it for sinners. He lived it to provide a righteousness that covers your guilt. That's what he did. We've already seen that they are your sins. That's what Isaiah 1 tells us. You go forward 52 chapters in this book, and there you see my sins become Christ by imputation. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. See the personal nature of it still. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Sinner friend, understand this. The remedy for your sin against God is Jesus Christ. His obedience to that law you have broken time without number covers your guilt. His precious blood that he shed on that cross will wash away your sin. But sinner, you must come to him. You must come to him. At that cross, the fountain was opened. Here's what Zechariah said. A fountain opened for sin and uncleanness. Sin is unclean. But sinner, at the cross of Calvary, the blood of Christ was shed. That fountain was opened for sin and uncleanness. Now the question is this. You have your sin. We've seen that. Your sin is against God. You die tonight without Christ, you meet God. On the subject of your sin. But yet Christ stands here and says, come now, sinner. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. Sinner, all you need is found in Jesus Christ. Christ's blood has satisfied divine justice. He obeyed that law you've broken. We've already said that. The cross, he propitiated, turned away divine wrath from all who seek him. But sinner, sin is only paid for in two places. Both ordained by God. Christ's cross. That's why every believer in this meeting rejoices in Christ's cross. There their sin was paid for. Or God's hell. Now, unsaved friend, it is one or the other. It's one or the other. God is satisfied with the work of Christ. He pardons all who come to him. On the terms laid down in this book. What are those terms? Look at verse 16 again. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. There's repentance. And sinner, the sin has to go. It is not my business what it is. But the Lord says you're to put it away. Turn from it. Embrace Christ, freely offered in the gospel. And I say to you that in a moment of time, your sins will be all forgiven, and they are yours. And you will be on your way to heaven. Sinner, you need Christ. You desperately need to get to Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, oh, I know what you're saying. Certainly do. And I would want to be saved one day. But not yet. I have heard that statement. Or words like it. Until I am blue in the face. Going round people I know in Ballymena. And that's the one they always come out with. Nobody in their right mind says they don't want to go to heaven. But sinner, understand this. Balaam wanted to go to heaven. That day when Balaam said, let me die the death of the righteous, because Balaam knew the death of the righteous took them from earth to everlasting glory. But he didn't die the death of the righteous. Because the Bible says he loved the wages of unrighteousness. He loved what his sin brought him. And for that sin and what it brought him and his love for it, he lost his soul.
And tonight, listen, in the fires of everlasting hell, belches the soul of Balaam, who said, let me die the death of the righteous. And he didn't die it. Balaam is not a cartoon character. He was born into a family, grew up as a lad, became a full-grown man, come out with that statement about heaven that he wanted to die and go there, and he didn't go there. He didn't go there. He lived and he died and he lost his soul. So did many others in the scriptural narrative. Cain, Balaam, Pharaoh, Judas Iscariot, the rich man in Luke's gospel. Soul, he said. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Wrong. I have often wondered, and I cannot prove what I'm about to say, but I have often wondered, what made him think about his soul that night? Because it was his soul he thought about. Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Really, he was saying, I'll get saved later. Did he talk to a mother in Israel? Was he in the synagogue? Did he hear the scriptures read? Was he talking to some old saint of God out there in Israel? Maybe he spoke to him about the way he was living, his carelessness before God. I don't know. But something made him think about his soul. And the same night he thought about it. And maybe you're thinking about it right now. The same night he thought about his soul. And in a moment of madness, said, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. And the same night he thought about it, he lost it. The same night. Sinner, if you're thinking about your soul, amen. If you're thinking about coming to Jesus Christ, amen. But in love to your soul, you now need to put those thoughts into action and come to and do it now. Not because I say so, may I add, but because God Almighty in this text says so. Come now. Let's reason together. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet,
They'll be white as snow, though they be red as crimson. They'll be as wool. This is the moment for you. Felix, over there in Acts 26, when the Apostle Paul spoke to him and Drusilla about their behavior and their sin, and Felix got scared. He trembled. As Paul reasoned with him on judgment and many other things. But Felix trembled. But Felix said this, "Go your way for now. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for you." Sinner friend, this is your opportunity to get right with God, and you need to get right with God before you meet God. Do not meet God in your sin, or you've lost your soul and you're damned. Meet Him in Christ, clothed in the garments of salvation, having been washed in the Redeemer's blood. And then the moment of your death will be that moment when heaven's glories welcome you home. Sinner, come to Christ tonight. Come now, receive the forgiveness of all your sins. What a doctrine. Forgiveness of sins. You know what it is? Go home if you come to Christ. Put your head on that pillow tonight. Close your eyes to get a night's rest. And know in your heart, if you do so, if I don't wake up, it's okay. I'm forgiven. What a doctrine. But it's not okay if you're not forgiven. If you have never this dealt with, this is your opportunity, sinner. You may never have another one. You need to come to Christ. Let me close. In ancient Greece, there was a great sculptor. His name was Lysippus. He took his chisel one day, and out of the rock he carved the form of a man. Wings on his feet, hair on his brow, completely bald down the back of his head. And he placed this statue upon a big piece of granite, and on the granite, in Roman letters, he wrote questions and answers. And it reads like this: "Who made you?" "Lysippus made me." "What is your name?" "My name is Opportunity." "Why are your feet winged?" "That I might fly swiftly throughout the world and come to every creature." "And why is there hair on your brow?" "That all may grasp me as I approach." "And why are you bald down the back of your head?" "For when I am gone, none can lay hold on me." Sinner, my dear friend, if you die out of Christ, all hope of you ever being saved dies with your death.
and you need desperately right now to come to him. Come now. You say, preacher, will he save me if I come? Yes. Will he pardon no matter what I've done? Yes. His blood will cleanse you from all sin. But you must take the step. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. My time is completely gone. We won't have a closing hymn. But sinner, tonight maybe you have been thinking about your soul. And the Lord's word again to your heart. Maybe some here have sat through years and years of preaching. Again, I don't know. I don't know who's not saved here. But sinner, you know. And God knows. And you need to come to Christ. You couldn't be in a better place. You're sitting among a band of people who at one time in their lives, they came to him. We're no better than you, friend. But we are forgiven for our sins. Come to Christ. Even there where you sit, lift your heart to heaven and cry, God, be merciful to me. A sinner, forgive my sins. Save me tonight. By your grace, help me to live for you. I tell you, he'll do it. Speak to me at the door. Speak to one of the elders. Be our joy to sit down and speak with you. Point you to Christ. Don't make a decision tonight, friend, that could cost you your soul. Come to Christ. Father, we do thank thee for this gracious invitation. Lord, grant deciding grace even now. Bind the devil and silence him. We pray that you'll bring souls right through for thee. We pray, O God, that tonight in this meeting, you'll give some dear soul that grace that he needs to embrace Jesus Christ, find the forgiveness of all their sins. May they go home tonight rejoicing that it's well with their soul. And until that day, O God, when all the church is gathered home into that celestial city, until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, be with all the Lord's people tonight and until Jesus comes or calls, and then forevermore. Amen.